Good morning, Jackson, Mississippi, and all surrounding areas. You've tuned in to the Free Range Human Show of Choice, your daily dose of reality radio. This is the Clay Edwards Show. I'm, of course, Clay Edwards, and I am joined in the studio this morning by my buddy and local, or not local, in Richland Police Chief, Mr. Nick McClendon. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, everybody.
How you doing?
I'm great.
Well, Nick has joined us this morning to discuss Richland Police Department's National Night Out event tonight. And we're going to get into some other stuff, too. In my intro there, you hear me talk about positive solutions. Well, we've got some. We've got some positive solutions, possibly. Some positive suggestions, anyway, for maybe working on some of this crime stuff and pursuits and all that good stuff. So we're going to talk with Nick about that. And if you guys want to chime in, the Mack Hike of Flowood Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram phone line is 601-879-0002. The Guns and Gear text line, 769-241-1944. And I'm going to tell you what, man, you guys have been so active on this text line. It's given me hours of entertainment when I'm not here. I've quit reading the comments on the Save Jackson Facebook post because they're a bit, we'll say, toxic. So the getting to reply to y'all's text has been a nice way to communicate in lieu of not arguing with people in the comment sections on social media posts. All right, so as I was saying, we're joined by Nick McClendon. He's here to promote the Richland Police Department's National Night Out event. Nick, this is something y'all been doing for a few years now. Like, Richland really wrapped their arms around this event and kind of made it theirs.
Well, this is our first time hosting the event or participating in it. It's a national event that's held all across the country. But when I became police chief, I told everybody I wanted to be involved in the community. And I noticed seeing this one day, and I said, look, we want to participate in this event. So we're doing that tonight from 5 to 9 at the new Parks and Rec Center on Harper Street there in Richland, Mississippi. And anybody's invited from the whole metro area to Richland, come out and enjoy a good time with local law enforcement.
And that's right behind the Walmart on 49, right?
That's correct. Right next to our community center. It's a new Parks and Rec building. Got a lot of indoor space if the weather gets bad. So, I mean, we're going to have space jumps, helicopter show, a phone party, raffles and giveaway, dunk a cop, dunk a canine officer, dunk a dispatcher, SWAT team, canine officers, traffic officers, food trucks. It's going to be a big event, and I hope just the community comes out and enjoys it with us.
Yeah, you got my buddy Zach Bridges playing, too.
Absolutely. We got Zach Bridges coming. Mississippi Blood Services is coming to have a blood drive at the same time. So it's going to be a big event.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I was thinking y'all had done this event a couple of, but you know what, I got confused. Y'all do like a Richland Day event thing that's really taken off, too.
Right, right. Our city does a Richland Day. I think they call it Rock the Park now, which is a pretty big event. As the new police chief, I said I want to be involved in this event and host it for our community.
So the last time you were here, I think you had just officially became chief relatively in a short order. Congratulations still. What are some things, now that you've been on the job for a little bit, you were getting ready to make some changes, update things a little bit. Anything you want to talk about?
Well, I think the biggest thing is the negative image of law enforcement these days. And as a society, we have to change that. We're having a big problem, not just Richland, everywhere in the country, recruiting new officers. And it's disheartening to me when I have some of my officers or officers that I know are telling their kids, hey, don't go a different path. Don't get into law enforcement. And that hurts me. That hurts my heart because at the end of the day, what happens when all the good guys retire and or leave this profession? What are we left with? So if this national narrative keeps pushing that police officers are systematically racist and they're biased, you know, Clay, I talked to some young kids the other day, teenagers, and some of them have parents in law enforcement, and I just wondered, I said, what's your opinion on law enforcement right now? And two words come out of their mouths that just struck me. One of them said racist, and one of them said biased. And I don't know where these kids, well, I know where they're hearing it. They're hearing it from the news media and everywhere else. But if kids that have law enforcement parents are saying racist and biased in law enforcement, we have a big problem on our hands. In society.
These are kids who have parents that are in law enforcement.
That's correct.
Saying that?
Yes, teenagers. So they're hearing it. They're believing it. And the statistics just do not back up that police officers are systematically racist, or, you know, just over the top killing innocent citizens, you know, I would invite anybody to send me a video. In my whole profession, I've never seen a video where a police officer stops somebody for a traffic violation and walks up and just executes them. I've never seen it. If somebody's got a video, please send it to me.
Now, you know, the only, and not just to play devil's advocate a little bit here, the only video I've seen that remotely shows something like that happening was the Castilla incident up in Minnesota, where the guy got pulled over and the cop went to the, and again, not down here. They were on Facebook Live. He walks up to the car and he goes to get his whatever out of the glove box, his license or whatever, and the cop freaks out and shoots him.
Yes.
But that is the only other time I've seen anything like that. But the video never tells the whole story. There's always more to it.
Right.
You know, but it, again, it doesn't happen. I mean, you could pick a one in a million incident. But I kind of wanted to, because I knew somebody would call in and mention that one, so I wanted to get it out of the
way. Yeah, and I've actually seen that one, and that one was bad. That's a lack of training and actually the officer being scared. But the statistics, you know, I have them in front of me. They just do not back it up, and we can talk about that on in the show.
Yeah, so, yeah, I was talking yesterday on the show about this incident going on, not incident, this what I call just a witch trial going on in Jackson right now, in Hinds County, with the Anthony Fox, former JPD officer. There's not a worse recruiting tool for your police department than to have this trial going on and saying, yes, if you come here and you do your job and you have to do real deal police stuff that the worst part of your trainings, or however you want to acknowledge that, we're going to punish you for it. I mean, that's got to be a terrible, and not just in Jackson, but it's got to be a terrible recruiting tool in the Tri-County area, because I mean, a lot of people aren't as plugged in as, say, we are and understand the difference in Hinds County judicial system and the DA over there, or the Rankin County judicial system and the DA over there. You know, a lot of people just say, look what they're doing to police. I don't want to be a cop.
Right. I mean, that's a big part of it. And, you know, I know Anthony and I know some of the other guys, and they were hard charters over there in Jackson. And look, we can't lose sight of the fact that policing in America is sometimes a dangerous job when you're out there hunting for wanted violent criminals. And I think we lose sight of the fact that the use of force is not pretty. It's never pretty. When an officer has to use force on a violent suspect, it's never pretty. It's never going to look good. But that's part of the job, and that's what we swore to uphold, the Constitution, and enforce the laws of the state of Mississippi, and that's what we have to do. So, you know, I pray for those guys, and I pray for a good outcome for Anthony and them guys.
You know, one of the things that I've seen come up over the years, and this is to your earlier point, and it's really happened post-George Floyd in America, and it's this push to push good cops out of, and it's not just happening in the police ranks, it's also happening in the military ranks. They're trying to force pro-patriotic good police out into retirement, whatever, so they can bring up this new generation of people that are more woke, the DEI stuff. We're pushing out good police, and people aren't going to like this new social justice police that they think is going to benefit them.
No.
Social worker policing.
No, I mean, you're going to have a rise of crime. It's not a good direction for law enforcement right now, and we have to do what we can as leaders in law enforcement to change the narrative.
We do. Look no further than Jackson, Mississippi. It's what I tell anybody that ever talks about any of this kind of stuff. Look no further. You have a large sample size in Jackson, Mississippi, of what happens when the leadership chooses to not be pro-law enforcement. And we need to prevent that from other places. And I encourage anybody, man, if you are wondering, if you were looking for something to do in your life, Richland, y'all are recruiting now, right?
Absolutely. And I tell everybody, if you want to be the difference, come put in an application and make a change. I think we're one short right now, but we're always looking for good people. And we want individuals that want to do this career to get into it, not be swayed by individuals saying, no, don't do it anymore. You see what's going on. We have to change that mindset, or we're not going to be in a good position in 10 or 20 years in law enforcement.
No, not at all. All right, let's take a break real quick. When we come back, we're going to get into Stokes' comments about suing the state over high-speed pursuits, and Nick's got some great information available on that and some opinions on that as well do I. You're listening to The Clay Edwards Show. We'll be right back on 103.9 WYAB. Breaking rules when necessary. This segment's going to be brought to you by Complete Exteriors Roofing and Gutters. Complete Exteriors Roofing and Gutters in Pearl wants to help you determine who to use when you are seeking roof repair or work on your gutters. You need to choose a qualified, certified company that has a local brick and mortar building, a company that has been in business for longer than 2 years, and offers a warranty. Complete Exteriors has a 4.9 Google review and has been in business for over 16 years, approaching 17 at this point. Complete Exteriors Roofing and Gutters can provide you with a professional and honest look at your roof and gutters. Complete Exteriors, quality without compromise. When you want someone you can trust, contact CompleteExteriorsMS.com. And don't forget, man, they got their Roofs for Troops rebate program. If you are active or retired military, you can get a $250 rebate on a new roofing system from Complete Exteriors. Check them out, CompleteExteriorsMS.com. Okay, I'm joined in studio by my friend and local police chief from Richland, Mississippi, Mr. Nick McClendon. Nick is here to promote the National Night Out event there in Richland tonight. And we're also going to discuss some local law enforcement stuff and some statewide law enforcement stuff and just the perception of law enforcement in general. And as we go here, the phone lines will be open. If you want to call in, ask Nick a question, make a comment, put in your two cents, anything like that, 601-879-0002 is the Mack Hike of Flowood phone line. Or you can text a question in to the Guns and Gear text line at 769-241-1944. And that may be the way to go today in the sake of time and whatnot. All right, Nick. Pursuits. That's been a very hot topic around here lately.
Absolutely.
And per usual, post 2016, 2015, it's depends on what political side of the party you're on. It seems to be where people fall on these things. And that's that I hate that. That's not fair to anybody. And our buddy Jake Windham made the comment after that most recent pursuit that it's not fair for the citizens of Pearl and it's not fair for the citizens of Jackson for people to know they can just run back to Jackson. And, man, I told you, I stood up and yelled when he said that. I was like, amen. Finally, somebody said it's not fair for the citizens of Jackson either. Of course, it's not your job to defend Jackson. That's not who you're not the police chief of Jackson. But there are a lot of good folks there. And, you know, that's where Jackson has a very soft spot in my heart. But we have to, we have to be accepting of these pursuits and understand that, like you said earlier, when you have to use force, it's never pretty.
Right.
And this is just another version of having to use force to stop a criminal.
Right. Yeah. I mean, pursuits are, you always got to weigh the risk versus reward of capturing the individual. When you're involved in a high-speed chase, especially this crossing jurisdictional lines, where a lot of the times you don't have the support across that river that you have in Rankin or Madison County. So you just, but it's not fair for our citizens. Our citizens expect the Richland Police Department, and Pearl's the same way, our citizens, our businesses expect us to enforce the law and keep them safe. That's what we're here for. That's what I'm doing as a police chief. If you come to Richland and you victimize our citizens or you victimize our businesses, we're going to apprehend you and we're going to hold you accountable for your actions.
No, absolutely. So Stokes comes out and says that he wants the city of Jackson to sue the state of Mississippi in federal court on violation of 14th Amendment stuff.
Right.
Does that even make any sense?
Now, 14th Amendment deals with due process. Your hot pursuit or your fresh pursuit, doctrine comes out of the Fourth Amendment, the exception to a warrant requirement. It gives us the leeway to pursue across jurisdictional lines. And I've actually been involved in pursuits that's gone all the way to Vicksburg and into Louisiana where the suspect was apprehended. Pursuits, they're inherently dangerous. The first pursuit I got into in 2014, an innocent person was struck and killed, and I still remember that vividly to this day. No officer in this country wants to be involved in a pursuit where an innocent person is killed. But, it's one of the things with the job. Much like walking up to a car in the middle of the night and a guy pulling a gun on you. You never want to take somebody's life or be involved in a situation like that, but our training dictates what actions we take.
All right, we got a call here on the Mack Hike of Flowood phone line. We got Derek on the line. Hey, Derek, you on there?
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Mr. Mayor. How are you?
Doing good. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. Hey, listen, this is what people don't seem to understand about the whole Pearl incident. It's not like he did a pit maneuver and pushed the guy into the mail truck. So I really wish they would quit this whole blaming Pearl PD nonsense, because he didn't do any of those things. And we have certain techniques and certain protocol we have to follow when policeman does a chase. He has to stay so many feet away from the vehicle. One, that's to protect him and allow him to maneuver if the vehicle makes any sudden type of moves or, like, all of a sudden sharp turns. So it's not like he did a pin maneuver and pushed the car into, you know, the mailbox. So how are you saying you're going to sue them for him being responsible when he wasn't?
Yeah, I think what Stokes is referring, he's going to sue the state of Mississippi to try to get the hot pursuit, the fresh pursuit law changed in the state of Mississippi, which I doubt very seriously the state of Mississippi is going to be more restrictive on law enforcement than the Supreme Court. Where I lie with this is, let's not handcuff police in doing their job. Let's handcuff these violent offenders and hold them accountable for their actions.
Well, they've already done that with this anti-police rhetoric and defund the police and all this type of stuff. What more do they want? But to go along with your point, Mr. Mayor, you were talking about the Fourth Amendment.
Hey, Derek. Nick's the police chief of Richland, not the mayor.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sir, my apologies.
That's fine.
Chief, to go along with what you were saying about the Fourth Amendment, now, if they was to go up there and somehow sway a court to end hot pursuit, that also includes when you're chasing a suspect on foot and you see them go into a dwelling or a building, that's what allows you to go in after them, because you physically, in the moment of chase, they went into a structure and you're allowed to go in there without a warrant as well. That would undermine that too, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, it all falls under the same doctrine of the Fourth Amendment, the exceptions. You know, that's where it came from, is chasing suspects in the houses. That's where it initially started, and it evolved into police pursuits. I mean, it's the same situation. One's in a vehicle, one's on foot. But I've seen recently some of this anti-police rhetoric get played so far, so much that for misdemeanor violations, I think it's in Chicago, they're not even able to engage in a foot pursuit with a suspect that flees from them.
In all my 20-plus years of law enforcement, I've never seen it as bad as it is right now. But my dad used to make a saying, because he's a retired police chief, and I just wanted to tell it to you as a fellow brother in arms. My dad said, at the end of the day, police, as far as police is concerned, we are all we got. And that was his biggest saying, you know, is we are all we got. Police have to come together, because we can't expect the government or city leaders to do it.
All right. Well, we hold the line between chaos and civility. So we have to change the narrative the best way we can.
You're right, my friend. And through chaos comes order.
That's right.
Y'all have a good day.
Yes,
hey, Derek, thank you, brother. Have a blessed one.
Uh-huh.
All right, I think we got another caller queued up here. Let's take another call real quick on the Mack Hike of Flowood phone line. Hey, caller, you're on there with Richland Police Chief Nick McClendon. How are you doing?
Hey, Mr. Nick. Hey, Clay. I just really wanted to call and say to him that, you know, with all the crazy negative noise in the background, I want him to know that he is so appreciated. He truly is. And let me just tell you, I drive to Jackson every day to work, and the fear that hits me when I hit that county line is crazy. I get scared to even drive to work. And whenever I'm driving home and I hit Rankin County, I feel safe. And that's sad, but I'm really grateful for where I live, and I'm grateful for him.
Hey, real quick before you go, since you do drive into Jackson, I want to say this. You know, apparently JPD has issued a statement last night. Not apparently, they did. I read it. In so many words, they're saying if you get bumped at a red light, just keep going.
Yeah, I'm going to keep going. And it's sad that I'm even fearful to – I have a weapon in my vehicle that I'm legally allowed to have, that I'm scared to even use it in that city. That is so sad to me. That is – it's crazy. It really is. So if that's what I'm going to do, I'm going to hauletail it to Rankin County and figure it out.
Well, look, stay safe out there, and thank you so much for calling in this morning.
Thank you for the support.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. You know, it's interesting to hear a female call in and say the same exact thing. They insinuate the same thing that I said about feeling like if I had to defend myself in Hinds County, that I was going to end up becoming the defendant also.
Right.
You know, and that people shouldn't live like that.
Mm.
Do you think, let's circle back a little bit to the popular phrase right now, is the root cause. Are you seeing a spike in these pursuits post, I just go back to this post George Floyd stuff. Are you seeing a spike in this just really, really high anxiety traffic, traffic stops, like post George Floyd? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's post George Floyd. I think it's post Ferguson. And through my research, you know, getting my master's degree, and they call it the post Ferguson era of law enforcement, which is this narrative that's been broadcast out. But I don't think that started the pursuits. We've always had police pursuits, but I think the rise in police pursuits was around 2014 with the passage of House Bill 585. Now, House Bill 585 was a disaster for law enforcement. They changed the amount of felony shoplifting from 500 to 1,000 and reduced the amount of incarceration time for convicted criminals from 85 to 25% for non-habitual offenders. As a result, shoplifting and pursuits increased as the state of Mississippi enjoyed budget relief in the name of prison reform. So I think that was an unintended consequence of releasing a bunch of individuals out of prison for serving 25% of their time. Now these guys are back on the street, going to commit shoplifting. We're trying to stop them, and they're fleeing. So I think that had a big deal to increase the police pursuits. What's House Bill 585?
All right, we have got a couple callers on the line, but I want to ask a question real quick. One of the quick things that people love to say during these pursuits, and especially when something ends in tragedy like what happened to Jackson last week, is they're chasing misdemeanors. Do the numbers bear that out when you get these people finally stopped and arrested? Obviously, the pursuit turns into a felony, so it's no longer a misdemeanor. But the initial calls, whether it had been speeding, expired tag, whatever, and these numbers may not exist, but how often when you get these people stopped, were there drugs, illegal guns, all that type of stuff in the cars?
Often. I'd say a majority of the time. You know, I've never looked at the statistics of it. But through my personal experience from 2004 on, very, very often we would chase somebody for, you know, shoplifting or expired tax, suspended license, whatever. And upon catching them, we learned that the vehicle was stolen or they had guns in the car and they weren't allowed to possess them or they had drugs in the car. The only ones that are consistently just running for a traffic violation are individuals on motorcycles. And we know that pretty much in law enforcement. You know, occasionally we'll get somebody that's delivering drugs on a motorcycle they run. But they run on motorcycles because they think they can just get away easy and not have to get the ticket. But if they're in a vehicle, there's usually underlying motives of them fleeing from the police. It's just not a $120 traffic ticket.
Yeah, look, I don't want to give criminals too much credit for being extremely smart. But one thing that I know, having been a former screw-up, is I would, if I'm not doing anything wrong and there's not a chance of going to jail for longer and just getting a ticket, I'm going to just pull over. Now, I've never ran in a situation. One of the reasons I guess I can be here now. I never ran, but if somebody is stupid enough or feels in danger enough to decide to run when they see the blue lights, there's a reason they're running other than they don't want an expired tag or a speeding ticket.
Absolutely. I mean, there's been numerous times we've chased individuals, and at the time, all we knew is, hey, they ran. We don't know why. We tried to stop them for expired tag, and 2 days later we get a call, hey, they were involved in a home invasion, you know, out in Scott County. You know, that's why they ran. So just because you don't determine that night why they ran don't mean they didn't do something that night.
Yeah.
That just hadn't been
In the back of their mind, they're like, oh, no, they know I broke in the house.
Yep.
Whether you may not even know yet or not, but that's the trigger point. All right, let's take a call real quick before we got to take this break. On the Matt Klaika Flowood phone line. Hey, caller, you're on there. Hold on. We got something. Our lines are a little crossed there. Hey.
Hello? Hey,
Sylvia, you're on there.
Oh, this is Sylvia. I just said, how are you guys doing this morning?
We're doing great. How are you? Thank you for calling in. I figured you would today.
I'm doing well, too. I just wanted to tell the chief that he brought up the Michael Brown incident. When that took place, I decided, because the officer was really physically harmed and had his eye was almost taken out of his eye socket through this encounter he had with him. However, when that incident took place, I said, Lord, the men and women in blue need support. because our society is treating them like they're the plague. And I said, I need to do something that truly means that they are appreciated. Now, I hand out cards telling the law enforcement individuals, thank you for serving in law enforcement. And there's other things on there, too. I have a Bible verse and stuff like that. But I really appreciate law enforcement. I would not want to live anywhere where they cannot do a pursuit of someone who is breaking the law. And I do feel that Pearl Police did the right thing. I'm glad that the chief of police backed his police officers. And I'm glad that the mayor stood out and called Chuck Ways Lumumba, or however you say his name, that spineless racist, out on how he felt. Because I see people feeling, I see that when they leave these places, Rankin County or Madison County, they just go crazy, especially when they're driving. But I just want to say thank you, sir, for serving in law enforcement.
Hey, Sylvia, before you hang up, Nick, can I tell this story real quick?
Absolutely.
Nick reached out to me a couple weeks ago, and he said, what's Miss Sylvia's number? And I told him the last four digits of your number, and it ended up not being you, but they had got a voicemail or a phone call just calling them to thank them for what they do and tell them they were doing a good job and stuff. And the first person he thought it might have been was you, Miss Sylvia. It ended up being somebody different, but you were top of mind, and that is your reputation around here. So just know that.
Yeah, thank you for the support.
Well, I appreciate that, and you're going to give me the big head here, but I want y'all to know that I don't believe a police officer wakes up in the morning and says, I'm going to shoot somebody today, or even say, I'm going to shoot a black person today. I believe that when law enforcement gets up in the morning, the first thing they say, pretty much, Lord, help me do this job right and help me come home this evening.
That's right. My prayer every morning is not for me to lose an officer due to violence in the streets.
Yep. Yeah, so, due to violence. We recently lost an officer. And that was just very sad. And I pray for that family, because losing anyone is difficult. But losing someone in law enforcement is just that much more difficult.
All right, Miss Sylvia.
But I do want to say thanks.
Thank you.
And that's all I wanted to say.
Have a blessed one. Thank you, Miss Sylvia. Let's take one more call before we go to break here. Hey, caller, you're on the air.
Now, you the police chief of Richland or Ridgeland?
Richland on 49.
Okay. Now, I got a question for you.
Yes.
This whole deal with this guy being killed, what ticks me off about it, it was a young guy with a family, and they chased him over whatever it was. Do y'all have a hard problem getting JPD if y'all do a call ahead to set up a roadblock or something like that to stop this?
Well, roadblocks in a pursuit are unconstitutional. It's considered deadly force because you're actually seizing them at that time. Every time we are involved in a police pursuit that enters Jackson, we notify them. They have a lot of good guys over there that are willing to help. A lot of times the leadership over there tells them we're not getting involved. So it's kind of a mixed bag. If an officer sees us, and you know, a lot of times they'll help us unbeknownst to their supervisor. But that's one of the problems we encounter. Even if you don't want to be involved in a pursuit, you can block intersections, you can slow traffic down to try to keep the community safe during one of these incidents.
Okay, one more thing, and I'll let you go. And Clay, I want you to do your homework on this. How many cops have came and gone since Jake Windham's been the mayor of Pearl?
I'll just ask Jake.
Do you know?
No, no clue.
Over 100. There are three that were there when he started. Three.
Oh, we will. I will. We'll have Jake.
Y'all have a good day.
We'll have Jake on the show soon, and we'll ask him about that. Appreciate it, brother.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break real quick. You're listening to the Clay Edwards Show. I'm joined in studio this morning by Nick McClendon, Richland Police Chief, and that is Richland on Highway 49, not Ridgeland. And we'll be right back on 103.9 WYAB. Breaking rules when necessary. Right over here at the Clay Edwards Show. I'm joined in the studio this morning by Richland Police Chief Nick McClendon. And this segment is going to be brought to you by Lakeland Glass and Tint. Your home, car, or business window. If you need to get your home, car, or business windows tinted, Lakeland Glass and Tint. If you need to get your vehicle wrapped, Lakeland Glass and Tint. Check them out online, lakelandglassintent.com, or give them a call, 601-946-1000, where quality matters. Jason Anderson and the team doing big things. Got to hang out with Jason at the grand opening of the Tesla event. They're doing the Expel wraps, the paint protectant wraps for Tesla. And if a company like Tesla trusts you to do their new car sales, you can trust them too. Maybe that's just the best way to say it. All right. I am joined in studio by Nick McClendon, Richland Police Chief. Nick, the phone lines are lit up, brother. Let's just jump straight into a call here on the Mack Hike of Flowood phone line. Hey, caller, you're on there.
Hey, what's up, Clay? This is D.
Hey, brother.
Hey, man. Just two small things. I'll keep it quick. You know, years ago, I used to work under McMillan with the Hinds County Sheriff's Department. I was on the vice team, the narcotics and vice. And after McMillan, you know, lost the election, he went to Tyrone Lewis. You know, I saw how everything just fell apart. You know, he disbanded everything, and it was like the Wild West, you know. But that was years ago. So I kind of understand where it comes from for the leadership part, you know what I mean? And that's why I wanted to tell the chief, you know, how much I appreciated his, you know, his leadership, and because I live in Florence and I'm in Richland all the time, and I appreciate the police presence there. I appreciate when they set up roadblocks over there behind, like, you know, Walmart and stuff like that, because that's what gets the idiots off the road.
Absolutely. You know? You know, it's been a big thing of mine. If you refuse to enforce quality of life crimes, misdemeanor, minor crimes, then it leads just to social disorganization. Research proves that. So we're going to continue to enforce all crimes in Richland.
Well, Chief, I appreciate what you do, and, you know, keep doing what you're doing, because it's working out. You know, Richland is a very safe place to be because of y'all.
Absolutely. Number 9 in Mississippi.
Yes, sir.
Good stuff there. All right, brother. All right. D, I appreciate it, brother.
Yeah, y'all have a good day.
Uh-huh. Hey, you know, and I think one thing that Richland, Flowood, Pearl, they don't get enough credit for being the front line for protecting a city like Florence, Brandon, on into Rankin County, like what Richland does as a buffer between Madison. I mean, because you guys are really on the front line against a lot of this Jackson stuff, that stuff we don't see.
Absolutely. I mean, it's always been a big deal to us. And Pearl has a flex team. We have a flex team that specifically go out every day and work proactive criminal patrol. So there's always blue lights flashing up and down Interstate 20, Highway 49, Highway 80. So everybody sees that comes into Rankin County.
All right, we have got another call here. I believe this person has called a couple times during the break. Hey, caller, you're on there. Hello. Hey, can you hear me?
Hey. Hey, man, Nick, this is Kevin. I stay in Richland, man. I just want to give you kudos to your guys. Anything that go on, man, your guys are on top of it.
Well, man, I appreciate it. Come see us tonight if you're available.
Oh, yes, sir. I will be there, me and my kids.
Absolutely.
Hey, look, I'm going to be there too, man. If you see me, come say hey.
Yes, sir. We'll do it.
Appreciate it, brother.
Hey, man, y'all have a good day.
You too.
You too. Thank you.
All right.
That's good stuff there, man. I mean, you know, again, one of the things that you want to talk about was the perception of law enforcement. And there is a huge chunk of people out there of all walks of life that absolutely appreciate good law enforcement.
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't want anybody to lose sight of the fact I'm not talking about Richland. I'm talking about nationally.
Mm-hmm.
Richland, we are loved. Our community loves us. Our business loves us. I mean, we got 30 raffles tonight donated by local businesses. They support us. The council, the board of aldermen, the mayor, they all support the police. So I don't want to come off sounding like our community does not support us, because they support us 100%.
No, it's online rhetoric,
yep,
and stuff of that nature. And it's just this perception, and it kind of goes back to what I was saying, or just my thought process, the post-Ferguson effect,
yep,
of you're pulling over, and I'm just going to say it because this seems to be the demographic. You know, you're pulling over African-American folks, and there's a high anxiety from them because of what's coming from the media and the online rhetoric that, oh, my God, I'm getting pulled over, I could die right now, and then people freak out and they start making bad decisions, and it's just this trickle-down effect. And I love the idea of a national night out like what you're doing tonight, because it gives the community everybody in the community mm-hmm. an opportunity to come out, shake a hand, and actually have a conversation and get to know a law enforcement, then, hey, maybe next time you get pulled over, you met that guy at National Night Out, and I'm not saying he's going to let you slide, but maybe he lets you slide. He's like, oh, hey, I remember you. You're a good guy. Go on about your business.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, look, let's take one more call here before the break. All right, on the Matt Kike of Flowood phone line. Hey, you're on there.
Hey, Clay, how you doing?
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Hey, the chief of Richland Police.
Hey.
That's one thing I want to keep saying. You keep saying the folks in Jackson, too, keep saying defund the police. Did nobody in Jackson say anything about defund the police? We are underfunded from at the beginning. And another thing is, we get so much behind kind of getting anxiety going to Richland or Pearl or Madison, that seems like they pull us over, they're targeting tags from Hinds County. They're like, last something cars that don't like coming to Jackson, with so much for Hinds County, we get kind of anxious calling over to Pearl and Rankin and Madison. That's like, you think everybody from Hinds County are criminals or something. It don't bother me because you pull me up, I got my insurance, I got everything, so it ain't going to bother me. That's just the perception some people from Hinds get when they go to Malice or Rankin County, like they actually targeting us because we're from Hinds, and they think everybody from Jackson are criminals or something.
Can I comment on that real quick?
Sure.
Chris, I've had a Hinds County tag on my car my entire life up to the last year, and I spent a lot of time in Rankin County. My car does not look like something that a guy that like me would drive. We'll just say that. It's a little car with big rims, 5% window, illegal tint on the windows. I'm telling the police chief right here, 5% window. And I don't get pulled over and harassed because they can't tell that it's a white conservative in the car. I don't necessarily believe the myth of them just popping cars from Hinds County tags, because my car fit every stereotype to say that guy might have drugs in the car, you know, if you're just going by stereotypes, and I never got pulled over. Chris, we got to take the break real quick, but we'll get to your question on the other side of it. Thank you for calling in this morning.
Okay.
You're listening to The Clay Edwards Show, joined by Richland Police Chief Nick McClendon, and we'll be right back on 1039 WYAB. Rules when necessary. Welcome back into The Clay Edwards Show. We got the last segment of the first hour here. Today is a two-hour show, and we are joined by Richland Police Chief Mr. Nick McClendon, here to promote their big National Night Out event tonight there at the Richland Recreational Center, Park and Rec Center, right there behind Walmart off 49. I think that's if you're not familiar with Richland, that's the easiest way to tell you to get there. And it's going to be a good time. Zach Bridges is playing. They're going to have Dunk a Cop, all kind of stuff. I've often said maybe if I would go into Jackson and get into a dunking booth, people could dunk Save Jackson.
Probably bring a lot of money in.
Probably raise some money. Yeah, I think so. Hey, real quick, let's put a button on Chris's question. I think he kind of had a bad reception, but I think he was suggesting that Rankin County cops stereotype or focus in on Hinds County tags. Do you want to put a button on that?
Yeah, and he mentioned that I suggest, or somebody suggested, the citizens of Jackson defund the police. I never said that. There's a lot of good people that live in Jackson. You know, in Richland, because I can speak for that, you know, you can't profile against race, religion. We profile against criminals. If you're a criminal and you come to our city and you violate the law, we're going to hold you accountable for violating that law. We don't just go out there and stop just Hinds County tags. But you gotta see the difference of JPD and Richland, Rankin County.
Hey, look, hold that thought. We're at the top of the hour break. We'll be right back on the Clay Edwards Show right after this news from CBS. Unfiltered, no sugar added talk radio. That's what we do here on the Clay Edwards Show. We have tough conversations. People always tell me, Clay, you got to have a tough conversation about these things. And look, we do that right here 5 days a week, starting at 7 a.m. every morning on 103.9 WYAB. And hey, look, man, if you miss any of this, be sure to check out the podcast. Just go to any and all major podcasting platforms, even YouTube. It takes me a little bit longer for it to post to YouTube. It's usually around lunchtime. And just go search Clay Edwards Show, and it will be posted there. And go hit the subscribe button and give me a 5-star review. It helps us get pushed up in the notifications or the suggestions and recommendations, should I say. If you watch on YouTube, hit that like button, hit the share button, and subscribe. It'd be much appreciated. All right, this segment is going to be brought to you by Guns and Gear. Our good friend Hunter and the team out there in Gluckstadt, right located right there on Highway 51, next to Little Willie's in that strip mall there at Yandell Road. Look, home with No Limit Ammo. Go out there, Get you a new pistol, new AR, whatever your heart desires. We're getting close to hunting season. Already that time again, isn't it? And get out there and get your new rifle, whatever you need. They got it there at Guns and Gear, the home of No Limit Ammo. You can buy as much as your wallet can handle. And they also offer gunsmithing and all of that fun stuff. Check them out online, gunsandgearms.com. And hey, if you want to text into the show, the Guns and Gear text line, 769-241-1944. Nick, real quick, let's clean up the where we kind of fell off there at the end of the last hour.
Yeah.
We were talking about the JPD stuff and versus Rankin County.
Yeah, and the resources is the biggest deal. You know, in Rankin County, I know in Pearl and Richland, we have the resources to create specialized units, basically proactive criminal patrol units. We call ours the Flex. Pearl calls theirs the Flex. They got traffic guys. So these guys are out there every day conducting traffic stops, conducting investigations, and JPD right now don't have the resources to put – you know, you're not going to go to Jackson and get stopped every time you don't use your turn signal. But you come into Richland, you might if you encounter one of those guys that's out there proactively patrolling the area and you don't use your turn signal turning into Harper Street going to National Night Out tonight. You might get stopped because we have the resources to deploy those type of units out on our streets.
Yeah, so you'll never discourage proactive policing. As long as it's within the law, right?
You know, my whole thing in becoming chief of police was the CPAP, constitutional, proactive, accountable policing. Proactive criminal patrol reduces crime to unseen levels, and we've seen that. We had a 30% reduction in our criminal cases when we created the Flex unit.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. You know, less people are they're not encouraged to come down and steal from our citizens when every time they come down 49, they see blue lights on the side of the road.
Yeah, so look, we got a couple texts on the Guns and Gear text line I want to hit real quick. One guy says, I have never been pulled over, and this is a Hinds County citizen, says, I have never been pulled over in Rankin County. I'm driving the speed, and I'm not doing anything illegal. There's a big difference when I cross the county line road or cross into Hinds County and, say, drive down Raymond Road and how people drive. And I brought up a point. I say, you know, that does, when I'm in Jackson and I do stop at a stop sign, I use Elton Road, for example. I get off at the Elton Road exit to go see my parents. If I stop at that stop sign, I can't tell you how many times the people honk the horn at me for stopping at the stop sign. And God forbid, when I was working over on Highway 80, the chaos you see down driving through there, people on four wheelers going up and down the road, all this, that, and the other. I mean, it's just when the quality of life laws, as you call it, when those are enforced, it's funny. There's not a trickle up effect in major crimes being committed.
Absolutely. You know, that's why
come a little closer to Mike.
Yeah, that's why we don't have the problems in Richland with folks riding four wheelers. Because I mean, if we catch you out there on dirt bikes and 20 people out there on dirt bikes and four wheelers, there's a lot of them fixing to get towed, a lot of tickets, and a lot of people fixing to go to jail. Because we're not going to have that type of lawlessness riding down our streets.
Coming from a guy who used to ride a Banshee up and down the roads back in my wilder days, it's a damn wonder I didn't get killed.
Yeah,
by myself or by some car hitting me.
Yeah, it's not safe at all, especially on major roads.
Nope. All right, we got one more text here. I feel like this is it. You brought up your constitution. What is your abbreviation there?
Constitutional Proactive Accountable Policing.
CPAC.
CPAP.
CPAP.
And not the one you wear.
All right. Well, that brings up a good, leads me right into this. And I asked you this off the air. This is from a texture. It says, for the chief, this winter, when COVID cases inevitably spike, can we count on you to reject lockdown mandates, churches, schools, etc.? And I said, I think it's a good time to explain the difference in a police chief and a sheriff.
Yeah. Or a legislator. You know, as a police chief and police officers, we have to enforce the laws. We don't enforce mandates. We don't enforce HOA rules in neighborhoods.
That's disappointing for some.
Yeah, and I get that. A lot of HOA calls us and, hey, somebody's, you know, garbage can is by their mailbox or whatever. That's y'all's rules. That's not all. We enforce the state statute. So, you know, no, we're not going to get into the COVID mandates and regulations and all that kind of stuff. Now, if the state legislator wants to put a law into place into the criminal code and make something criminal, then we're going to enforce that. But I don't see that happening.
Okay, so example, my kid goes to Richland High School. There's a statewide mask mandate for everybody to walk into the school. The school can call, but You can't tell that. You can't arrest that child for not wearing a face mask into the school.
No, not if it's not a state law.
Got it.
Or a city ordinance.
I like it.
Yep.
I like it. The person that texts that said the answer should be easy. I think they'll be satisfied with that.
Yeah.
So a good question there. Okay, I'll tell you what, before we get into the next thing, we got a caller on the line here. I think this is Lacey on the Matt Kike of Flowood phone line. Hey, you're on there.
Hi, yes, good morning. I would just like to say to him, thank you for your service. I feel safe driving through Richland. Like the other lady said, when I have to go to Jackson, it's horrifying. I'm always looking back in the mirror, trying to see if there's someone there to do something to me. And Jackson will never change as long as they keep that mindset of it's a white man that's got me, you know, scared, or it's the white man that's gonna get me. In Jackson, they're getting each other. The blacks are getting each other. It's not the cops. They don't even have cops. And then if you have to chase somebody from Ridgeland or from Flowood to Jackson, they need to be put under the jail, especially if someone gets dead behind their actions. They need to be prosecuted to the fullest. They should, jail should be, and that's another problem. I know I say it all the time. Jail is too clean. They need to break it down and bust heads when you go in there. It should be the worst place that any person would want to go, but it's not. So, you know, keep doing what you're doing, sir. You're awesome. My prayers go out to you and other officers like yourself.
Well, thank you, ma'am. And I think that brings us up to another point that we want to discuss in House Bill 585 and Stokes wanting to change the state law. I think we need to come together and not handcuff police and look at the criminal and holding them accountable and introduce legislation that increases the sentence from 5 years, let's say, to 25 years. Because right now, as the law is written, if you flee from police and there's not an accident and you're not a habitual offender, it's 5 years max is what you can get, and you only serve 25% of that. So if you flee from police and crash or whatever, you're looking at less than a year in jail right now. And I think Stokes and everybody else in the metro area can come together, go to the legislature and say, hey, we need to change this. We need to make it minimum 25 years in prison if you run from the police.
Yeah, so and to clear that up, because I asked this question when we discussed it off there earlier, it doesn't matter how long that pursuit lasts. It can go from the coast to South Haven. As long as they don't kill anybody else, it is just one charge of fleeing.
That's correct. Well, if you hit somebody and hurt them, it raises the level in the sentencing.
Yeah.
But if you can run from Richland, Mississippi, all the way into Louisiana, and if you don't hurt somebody and you just crash into a tree and you get taken into custody, it's 5 years. That's the max.
At what point, let's talk about this a little bit, at what point do you decide that, okay, maybe we need to try some spike strips, something like that? I don't know if we can give away inside baseball here, but at what point in a pursuit we say, okay, this is a safe enough area, we got traffic stopped? What goes into a thought process like that?
Well, just the safety of the officers is our primary concern, that and the citizens during a high-speed chase. And putting spike strips out are inherently dangerous for police officers unless you have a concrete barrier to get behind. We sent, the alderman gave all our officers the opportunity to go to training in Columbia, Mississippi. So now every patrol officer we have on our streets are PIT certified. So we attempt, when we initiate a pursuit, we attempt to stop it as soon as we can by conducting a TVI or a PIT maneuver on the car, wrecking them out, taking them into custody where nobody gets hurt. You know, our alderman, and I'm fine with replacing a $2,000 bumper and not risking the lives of innocent citizens, especially in other jurisdictions.
Absolutely. I like that. So, well, one of the things that just get brought up a lot with these pursuits is they could have set up a spike strip. They could have set up a roadblock. So you said roadblocks are unconstitutional during a chase.
Right.
That is insane. How does that make sense?
You can set up a roadblock, but you have to leave them an avenue of escape. Because basically they're saying the Fourth Amendment, if you set up a roadblock where there's no other way to escape and they hit and kill themselves, you seize them at that moment and use unnecessary force.
That makes my head hurt. It does. We can set up a roadblock, but you got to be able to turn right.
Yep. You got to have an avenue of escape. But, you know, the Supreme Court's kind of been split on some of the decisions they've made. They've also, you know, ruled that officers could use deadly force in a pursuit that was inherently dangerous to the citizens. So I think it depends on the level of danger involved in the pursuit of what kind of force you can use.
Let's talk about that. The Texas case.
Right.
They were pursuing somebody, and snipers got on the bridge and
cleaned his clock. That's a fact. And, you know, the Supreme Court ruled that was constitutional because of his reckless driving.
We're on the... I see broadcast. No. Okay. I think we're back now after the emergency broadcast there. Real quick, I'll tell you what. We were talking about a Texas case, and caller, I know you're on hold. We were talking about a Texas case where there was a high speed pursuit and it had gone on for a while, and it was very, very dangerous. So they set up snipers on a bridge and they cleaned the guy's clock. And the Supreme Court, Nick, you said?
Yeah, they ruled that the officer held no civil liability to the man's death because of his actions.
So you can't end it by any means necessary.
I think it depends on the situation. Now, we don't teach that, but, I mean, if it's a deadly situation, I think, and deadly force is justified, then you'll be justified in it.
Yeah, cause, I mean, because you got to pick a spot in a situation like that where you say, okay, if we clean his clock, he's going to wreck.
Yeah.
What does the potential fallout of that, of the aftermath and all of that? That's interesting. All right, let's take this call real quick before we take a break. Hey, caller, you're on the air. Sorry for keeping you on hold.
That's all good. Hey, so I had a friend ride with me. I had a 16-foot trailer behind me. There is probably 40 trigger cops coming chasing one guy. I see him coming. I'm on 220. And I'm turning my buddy, and I'm like, hey, should I help him out? I could have easily gotten over there and blocked the guy. They told me no, like, you'll be liable. Now, what would have happened if I'd have gotten over there and blocked the guy? If say, he hit my trailer and wrecked, would I not have been helping out?
I think you would have been helping out, but you're going to be in that situation. You'll be responsible for the damage to your trailer and your vehicle. You know, because police officers pursue individuals, and they go through pursuit training every year. They're certified in certain maneuvers to end it. They have the radio, so they have a lot of training. And a citizen's, you know, I've seen videos where 18-wheelers have blocked individuals from fleeing. And, you know, we always love the help of citizens, but I would never put myself in danger as a citizen to try to stop a fleeing violent suspect.
Well, my thought was, there's 40 of them, they ain't done a good job, and, you know, whatever. I was just trying to help, but
yeah.
I'm glad that I listened to my friend. Thanks.
Yep. Appreciate it, brother. All right, man. Look, on that note, let's take a break real quick. You're listening to The Clay Edwards Show, joined by Richland Police Chief Nick McClendon. We're taking calls, we're taking texts, and we've got a bunch of them. We'll be right back on 103.9 WYAB. Breaking rules when necessary. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show. This segment is going to be brought to you by Watkins Construction and Roofing. Roof repair can cause you a lot of stress. Choosing the right roofing company to repair your roof is very important. Most contractors will try to convince you that replacement is the only way to go, and that, my friends, that is not the Watkins way. They believe in an honest assessment that doesn't necessarily mean replacement. In most cases, all you need is a repair. So whether you have a leaky roof, you need chimney repair, flat roof repair, roof water leak, shingle roof repair, metal roof repair, chimney flashing repair needed, Watkins Construction and Roofing is your go-to roof repair specialist. Check them out online at watkinsconstructioninc.com or give them a call today at 601-966-8233 for your complimentary roof assessment. And I guess according to the emergency broadcast, we got some storms coming through, so you may end up with a leaky roof, and Watkins Construction and Roof is your go-to roof repair specialist. All right, I'm joined in the studio by Nick McClendon, Richland Police Chief. Quick reminder, tonight, starting at 5 o'clock at the Richland Parks and Recreation Center, located right there behind the Walmart, they're having their big national night out. Free to get in, a lot of good times for everybody. Zach Bridges is going to be playing. Y'all got some food trucks and stuff, too, coming
out. Absolutely, got a bunch of food trucks. I think around 8 different food trucks coming out, bunch of activities for the kids. Just come out and enjoy yourself.
And look, for all you guys that don't like the police, you can go out there. They got a dunking booth. You can be able to dunk a cop. And if you ever got a ticket out there in Richland, I mean, maybe you can dunk the cop that gave you the ticket.
Absolutely.
Be a good time for all. All right, Nick, where were we at before we took that break there? I tell you what, we got a couple texts here on the Guns and Gear text line. And I thought this was a good one. It says, I can't find the text, but I'll remember the context of it. It says that people see police, this perception that police just pull up to red lights, hit the blue lights and go through them and then cut the blue lights off. Well, mm-hmm. I got a good email from a law enforcement guy explaining that in better detail
right. The
other day. Or they see cops speeding without the blue lights mm-hmm. on and this, that, and the other. But they could be heading to a call where they need to be able to sneak up.
Right.
And especially like domestic calls.
Domestics, burglaries in progress, you know, it's kind of like stealth mode. You don't want to tip your hand to the bad guy. If you get a call of somebody in a house actually burglarizing it, you don't want to you don't want to run lights and sirens all the way to that house because the bad guy hears the sirens coming. And just like a cop going to a red light and hitting his blue lights and sirens and going through it and then cutting them back off, he might be headed to a non-priority call, but he needs to get there fast. Not saying that some police officers on a rare occasion don't abuse their authority. I'll be the first to say that happens. But most of the time, if you see some activity like that, that officer's trying to get somewhere in a timely manner.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, you see it, and look, I'm sure it happens, you know.
Yeah.
But they can receive a ticket, too, if somebody sees them doing it. I'm assuming another cop, I bet a cop has given a cop a ticket before.
Absolutely, they have.
All right, so you've got some stats over there you wanted to discuss. You want to?
Yeah, so I just, you know, the stigma around law enforcement and just killing unarmed, you know, men, especially black men, is the statistics do not back that up. So I'm trying to change the narrative. And some of this stuff is from the Washington Post. Ever since 2015, they've kept a record of every person that's been killed by police. And one of their statements is nearly every single person police officers shot and killed since the Washington Post started its comprehensive database has been armed. Yet popular misconceptions persist that law enforcement is killing unarmed black men at a staggering rate. It's just not true. And if you look at you realize there's either around 900 to a million, 900,000 to a million law enforcement officers in the U.S. So if one officer every day has an encounter with a citizen, that's 365 million encounters a year by law enforcement and citizens. You know, and the statistics back up that you're more likely to be struck and killed by lightning than to be killed by a police officer. So I just want to put them numbers out there and how many encounters there are with law enforcement every day. And the only ones you get to see on the news media, especially the national news media, are the bad ones. You know, you see four or five bad ones a year, the ones that are not armed and reach for a phone and, you know, officer made a bad decision at that one time. You see the five, but you don't see the other 365 million encounters because the officer was changing somebody's tire. He went and bought a car seat. You don't see all that stuff because it don't sell in the news media. And I just want everybody to realize that officers are not out there, you know, just killing individuals for no reason at all.
All right, so one of the other things we were talking about, kind of pigtailing on, is pigtailing the word? Is that how you would say that? Anyway, the guy that called in and said he was, figure if he could help the police chase.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you're like, look, don't do that. There's too many variables in place. Too much can go wrong when you get another vehicle involved and whatnot. But you said, hey, man, if you see a cop fighting on the side of the road, and this would have been one I would have said you probably want to avoid because the cop doesn't know what's going on. But you say that absolutely, you know, if you feel like it, stop, pull over and help that cop.
Yeah. If you feel like it and you feel you're physically able to, I would suggest doing that. You know, just use caution, especially if you're on a back road out in the middle of the woods and you see a highway patrolman out there and you can tell he is fighting for his life. That trooper or that officer is going to be more than welcome to see another guy pull up and help him get that guy in custody. You see it all the time on the, you know, on social media where citizens help. Just use caution. Go up there and say, and, you know, tell the officer, hey, I'm here to help. And most of the time they're willing to help, especially if they're fighting for their life.
Yeah. So what is something, some Captain Obvious phrasing some people should shout if they are pulling up to help? I got you six.
Yeah. I mean, you know, something. I'm here to help. I'm here to help. And, you know, most officers, especially if they're fighting for their life, they're going to accept that help. I know I would.
Yeah, somebody texts back in, so it's called piggybacking. Thank you. I'm not pigtailing. Piggybacking. Look, man, I lose train of thought here a good bit, and coming up with words is harder than people may think. So if you see a cop, you know, catching them hands, and you get out and help them. I mean, but that goes back to the training, man. It doesn't happen a whole lot.
No, it doesn't. I mean, violent encounters with police are, they're just not there, It's just a selective media coverage of officer-involved shootings that drive this narrative, and it's just mistaken.
All right, look, if you guys got any questions for Nick, any comments, the Mac Hike of Flowood phone line is 601-879-0002. The Guns and Gear text line, 769-241-1944. We're going to take a break real quick, come back on the Clay Edwards Show on 103.9 WY. Breaking rules when necessary. Welcome back to the Clay Edwards Show. And I keep saying that because we're getting to put on some shirts here soon, the breaking rules when necessary. And, hey, look, man, looks like Kim Wade may be running for mayor of Jackson. So, you know, it's a couple years away. But I hope he keeps the energy because I believe that Kim Wade is the man to save Jackson. And y'all know that's my passion, right? Saving Jackson. And all these carjackings and stuff going on in Jackson right now. Y'all stay safe out there. Real talk here. I mean, I've called every female in my family or text them over the last 24 hours or so and said, hey, if you get in a little fender bender, especially if somebody bumps into you at a red light or a stop sign, you just keep on rolling. Call me, call 911. You know, unless you're in the Capital City Improvement District, don't call 911. Find the phone number, Google it for Capital City Police. Oh, man, what a cluster, man. They got to get that worked out. They got to get that worked out. Residents deserve to be able to trust that 911 is an equal opportunity savior, not you're in the wrong district. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of that type thing. Nick, without getting into their political business, let's just use Richland and Florence as an example. If someone calls 911 from Richland or Florence, there's not a central 911 dispatches, or each 911 kind of picks up on a cell tower and sends it to
right that jurisdiction. So I don't know what the problem is over there right now, but I do know, and I have confidence that Bo Lucky's going to do the right thing over there. It's just going to take time. If they're going to start answering 911 calls, they're going to have to get a 911 center. They're going to have to map, what their jurisdiction is, so that those 911 calls go to Capitol Police. So I think that's the holdup right now, but I got all the confidence in the world Bo Lucky's going to make that right.
Yeah, I do 100% agree with you there. Let's see here, man. We got some text on the Guns and Gear text line. It said, ask the chief about no-knock warrants. That's the first thing I see when it pops up here. It's one of them national hot buttons.
Yeah, it is. And, for years, and I'll attest to this, for years police utilized no-knock search warrants on almost every narcotic search warrant because they – were justified, or they thought they were justified. Recently, law enforcement has got away from no-knock search warrants unless it's justified. Unless you know they're armed, or you know there's a great possibility of them destroying the evidence, there's a time and a place for a no-knock search warrant. But they need to be in limited situations. And I preach that to my guys. Hey, every search warrant we do cannot be no-knock. You have to knock and announce, give them a chance to come to the door, or at least know you're the police officer. It's more dangerous to enter somebody's residence by just busting down the door because, they don't know if they're a home invasion. Even though when we bust down the door, we're screaming, police search warrant, so we use those in limited situations now. And I think that's the right decision.
Well, I think they're extremely dangerous for the law enforcement also. I mean, because, again, they don't know if it's a home invasion. I guess home invasion can entail the dope man coming to steal the other dope man's dope. Right. Like a lot of times, that is probably the fear, and I believe that was the fear in the case with Breonna Taylor. Yeah, they didn't think it was the police. They thought it was the dope man coming, and it was a terrible situation, but
it's a catch-22, just like pursuits. I mean,
it's a lot of blame to go around on that one.
Because also, if you do a knock warrant and you knock on the door and they're armed behind the door with a rifle, then they know you're there. If you're knocking and announcing police, then you give away your strategic advantage to, you know, the surprise. So it's a catch 22 to that and pursuits.
All right, something a little less serious here. Another question on the Guns and Gear text line. It says state law states hand signals are legal and proper to use. What if the officer doesn't see or know about hand signals?
He needs to read the rules of the book, rules of the road, and you know, that's something we learn in the police academy. So, you know, the officer should know that.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you fight it in court and you can prove that you used hand signals, that is legal.
That's legal. That's perfectly legal.
I would be willing to bet, just on a sidebar here, that 99% of the people out on the road don't know the proper hand signals up, down, and not just law enforcement, but the people trying to attempt to do the hand signals.
I've
as
seen
well.
It used back in the day. I hadn't seen it used recently. But, yeah, that is legal.
You know, I don't tell too many people this, but I guess I'm about to tell the world. I got kicked out of driver's ed for cheating on a girl's test in front of me, and they like, you got to go. You're done. I'd already had my driver's license and had a vehicle. But so I may be one of those very people that don't know his hand signals other than stop.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what, just out for left and down for right?
I think down is stop, up is right, and left is left.
Left is left.
I think.
Interesting. Interesting. All right, what you got anything else you want to hit, Nick?
I think we've covered everything I want to, besides National Night Out again. You know, looking forward to that and visiting with the community.
Oh, no. There was one thing. Video and police.
Oh, yeah.
Video and police. This is a big one here. I tell you what, before we hit that, let's take a call. This call real quick. Okay. This is probably going to be the last call of the day. Hey, caller, you're on the Matt Kiker Flowwood phone line. You're on there. How you doing?
Hey, sir. How you doing this morning? I got a call. I got a question for the chief of police.
Okay.
Hey, he's chief of police in Richland, right, on 49?
Yes, sir.
Hey, look, I live at Stony Creek. I know you know where that's at.
Yes, sir.
We've got a problem with speeders coming through there. My wife and I was coming from church one Sunday, and we turned off of Industrial Drive into the park, and we were passed in the park by a speeder. And he passed us, and we got two curves, and he went around them curves and never checked up. And I called one of your officers out there, and I was told there was nothing he could do because he didn't see it happen. But, you know, I had the tag number and everything, but, again, he couldn't do anything. Is there something we can do to get the speeders to slow down in that park? Because there's a lot of kids out there playing.
Absolutely. The biggest thing about speeders is if we go park a marked Tahoe in Stony Creek, you know, they're going to slow down, of course. The officer was right. If a misdemeanor crime does not happen in his presence, he can't do anything about it. But you can't. You should have the opportunity to come down and sign charges if you could identify that guy if you wanted. And we could have issued warrants for his arrest, and then it would be your word against his word in court instead of his word against the officers in court. But you have the opportunity to sign charges even on speeders or reckless drivers.
I did not know that.
Yep.
Well, my wife was with me, and we both were just completely blown away by what this guy had done. But, I mean, this is a common occurrence. And there's at any given time, there's just a lot of kids out riding bikes and having a good time. And it wouldn't take but one mishap to kill a kid.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've had that incident happen in Richland before, and it's something we don't want to experience again. So we take that highly. You know, for anything we can do, you can call the police department this afternoon and leave a message for me. And if you got the tag number, at the minimum, I'll go there and have a talk with them.
Well, I don't have the tag number anymore. I mean, this guy, I mean, when the officer come out there, the guy was still there in that driveway. But the officer said he couldn't do nothing. And I said, well, can you stop and have a talk with him? And by the time he got turned around and the guy pulled out, the officer told me he lost him. He couldn't get a hold of him. Or, you know, whatever the excuse was, I don't remember what it was now. Right. But, I mean, it was just totally ridiculous.
I understand. Well, future, if you see him, you get a tag number and you see who's driving, you can call the police department. And if we can identify him, you can sign charges on him.
Hey.
Sounds good to me then, because I'll be doing that a lot. I guess I'll be worrying y'all to death now.
Hey, look, man, I appreciate you for calling in, brother. Thank you so much for listening this morning.
Thank you for the show. We enjoy it.
Thank you. You know, that's an interesting point. I didn't know you could
absolutely
you could do that as far as speeders go.
Speeders, reckless driver, any kind of traffic offense, you know, if we can identify them. You know, a lot of times folks call in reckless drivers, and if we can't get them stopped and identified, you don't have anybody to sign charges to.
Yeah.
Or against. So as long as we can stop them and get them identified, you can sign charges on them.
It's kind of like a citizen's arrest, so to say.
That's exactly what it is. The judge just has to sign the warrant.
I dig it. Real quick, before we get into the the video and law enforcement stuff, we just got a text here. This is just kind of some breaking news. Somebody, and this is kind of a warning to people traveling through Jackson today. It says, my niece was just carjacked at gunpoint this morning on Fortification near Baptist Hospital. She was bumped from behind, and they stole her truck and personal belongings. Blue Dodge Durango. Ladies, please take extra precaution. Sad to say, if you get hit, you may have to just keep driving and call the police as you're trying to get away and save your life. I'm literally sick. It can happen to any of us any day. Yeah, man, look, it is it's really bad over there right now. And stay safe. Stay safe in Jackson. And if you get bumped from behind, continue on. Call the police while you're driving. Try to find a well-lit, populated area, something that looks safe, and pull over there if you just absolutely have to. Even if you don't think they were trying to carjack you, if they're just a normal citizen, but heck, you can't tell good from bad nowadays just by looking at folks. That's stereotyping. So just keep your head on a swivel. Nick, the conversation about filming police
right
comes up a good bit. We had an incident with one of my sources over in Jackson filming some JPD guys after a shooting incident, and he wasn't filming the JPD as much as he was just filming the post,
right,
the carnage, so to say. Afterwards, they come over, they have a First Amendment audit type situation, even though that wasn't really how he meant for that to go,
right?
But it kind of turns into that.
Yeah.
And from a policeman, what are your thoughts on people filming policemen doing their jobs?
Yeah, well, you got to realize most everybody in the metro area now has body cams, dash cams, or whatever, so everything's videoed anyway, that and surveillance video everywhere. But with this, the narrative going on now that police are inherently racist and they're always doing illegal stuff and they're killing everybody, you know, we can never do the right thing, it feels like, sometimes when we're out there trying to do the right thing. So when we're on a traffic stop and we're doing our thing and writing a citation or whatever, and somebody comes up and puts a phone in our face, it's basically telling us, I'm fixing to catch you doing something wrong because you don't do anything right. So, I mean, you got to leave feelings out of it, but it's not a good feeling for law enforcement when we're trying to do the right thing. Citizens come up and put a phone in our face. Now, you have the constitutional right to do that as long as you're on public property or have permission on the private property, and I get that. But that's how a lot of officers feel. This guy's just trying to catch me doing something wrong, even though I'm recording it on my body cam.
So if somebody, let's say, for instance, Richland PD has somebody pulled over, and somebody pulls over in another lane or pulls over on the side of the road and starts filming the traffic stop. They have the right to do that if they so choose, but it's still frowned upon. You're putting yourself in potential danger, for one thing, because you don't know why that person's pulled over.
Right.
And that's the thing that always gets back to me. That rarely is there an escalation of violence, as the stats say.
Yeah.
But there could be, and the next thing you know, you're catching some random gunfire over there for no reason because you were trying to get something to go viral.
Absolutely.
Trying to catch a cop doing something.
Yeah. And I mean, everybody has video cameras now these days, so everything's already documented. So the need to film police, I don't see the need in it, and it just tells law enforcement, this guy thinks we're not doing our job, and he's just going to catch us doing something wrong. And we hear that from the national news media. Then we see individuals videotaping us, even though we got a videotape on our chest, on our body cam. But
well, okay, devil's advocate here. To the people who say, well, you have control of the of what gets released on the body cam footage, how can the public trust that something isn't being hidden from a body cam footage standpoint?
Well, I can only explain. We're currently testing out Axon body cams, and I can tell you the officer has no direction of what is uploaded to evidence.com, which is Axon's server. And nothing can be deleted from there.
And so, no, his superiors can go in, nope. Or the mayor of a city that wants to keep something on the low. Nobody can go in and say, edit that. That can't go.
Nope. It's always up. Where you run into a problem a lot of times is, you know, you get in a tussle with somebody, and it's just how it is. The body cam gets knocked off, and it's laying on the ground, and then something happens. Well, it wasn't on camera. Well, everything can't be on camera.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
nor do you want everything on camera. You do not want to live in a Big Brother society to that point.
No, I mean, and undercover narcotics operations where there's proprietary information on tactics and all that kind of stuff. You know, you don't want that kind of stuff on camera.
Criminals suddenly love security cameras when it comes to the police having them. That is the weirdest thing to me. All right, let's take our last break of the day, come back, and get you guys up to speed about the big national night out going on tonight in Richland, hosted by the Richland Police Department. You're listening to The Clay Edwards Show, joined by Nick McClendon. We'll be right back on 103.9 WYAB. Necessary. All right, man, we got a couple minutes left here with Nick McClendon, police chief out there in Richland. Nick, you got your big national night out tonight. Weather not going to be an issue. They can be in. It can be indoors, outdoors, whatever. Starts at 5, bunch of food trucks. Zach Bridges is playing, a local celebrity of sorts.
Absolutely. 5 to 9, come join us. You know, bring the kids out so they have a positive interaction with police.
Yeah, that's something we talk about a lot is, you know, especially in somewhere like Jackson. And I hate to just keep punching on Jackson, but I don't feel like there's nearly enough positive interactions with police, whether it's from an officer-friendly program in the schools to whatever the case may be. Everything is a negative interaction from such an early age that they don't get the opportunity to come out to these kind of events.
A lot of times these kids, I mean, the last time they've seen a police officer is, you know, daddy getting pulled out by the U.S. Marshals or whatever. And part of community policing is every encounter can't be an enforcement encounter. We got to have normal community encounters with these kids to change this perception of law enforcement.
Absolutely. Nick, I appreciate you coming on. We will see you tonight out in Richland, right there behind the Walmart at the Parks and Recreation Center. Mike Madison up next. I'll be back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m.
Thanks for listening. Tune in tomorrow at 7 a.m. as The Clay Edwards Show discusses all that is going on in and around the city of Jackson.
This concludes our broadcast day.
Right here on 103.9 WYAB.